Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With the Joes and Aaron Hawksworth on the BetQL Network.
Welcome back, BetQL Daily, right here on the BetQL Network. Joe O, Joe G, Aaron Hawksworth with you on a Wednesday, presented, of course, by BetMGM. Joe knows coming up in about 20 minutes. We'll look ahead to college football, some futures as well, in the 11 a.m. Eastern hour and live moving across the NFL. But right now, we go out to the guest line. Ben Brown, Pro Football Focus, joining us. Talk week three and all the storylines in the NFL. Ben, we were just discussing season-long stat leaders across the NFL. And look, I'll throw it at you this way. If you had to bet one of these two categories, Carson Wentz to lead the NFL in yards or Carson Wentz to lead the NFL in interceptions? He's tracking for both right now. We were having some fun trying to figure out where to bet on Wentz. But Ben, if you had to pick one of those for Wentz to lead the league, where would you go?
I would definitely go with the interceptions. I do think they, you know, seem to be obviously the high volume type passing attack with, you know, the wide receiver position, I would say almost kind of set in Washington, but I don't know if he's going to stay as effective as he has been so far. And we have seen, you know, kind of a pretty high turnover worthy play rate so far through two games. I think basically only Matt Ryan has, you know, a higher percentage of bad throws than what Carson Wentz has. So I think if he's, you know, still struggling with the pressure type situations, he's probably going to lead the league in interceptions, especially if he starts all 17 games. So give me the interception prop more than the yards prop, that's for sure.
Ben, I'm glad you brought up Matt Ryan, because in that same conversation, that's a name that I was bringing up, and you could find him at 30-1 to have the most picks. And he has had a season where he's had 16, 17 interceptions, and that's about what you need nowadays to hit that prop, most interceptions. But just in general, what do we think about the Colts here? Another terrible start under Frank Reich. Now, he's regarded as one of the better coaches in the league, but we know that in September, they get off to bad starts. Is it oversimplifying all of the issues going on in Indianapolis to just say, hey, it's the Colts, it takes them about a month but to get their sea legs, and we'll actually learn some stuff this weekend in a desperate spot against the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yeah, I think it is probably a little bit of an oversimplification. I do think, you know, like you said, we are going to learn a lot about the Colts' resolve and facing off at home against Kansas City Chiefs, basically, you know, 6.5 or 7-point dogs. But it's been a disaster so far. I do think there was maybe, you know, some silver linings in previous seasons with how they, you know, started the season. At least they were, I would say, somewhat competitive. But they've lost or tied against, you know, some of the teams that we would have expected to be bottom dwellers. And I don't think Jacksonville is necessarily, you know, a bottom dwelling team in 2022. But the fact that they couldn't even put up, you know, an offensive touchdown, maybe they probably should have, you know, after the game was out of reach. But they are simply not making the types of plays that good or even average football teams make. A lot of drops. They have no secondary wide receiver outside of Michael Pittman. Matt Ryan, you know, is under pressure on, you know, roughly 40% of his drop back situations, and he's just not a guy that can navigate a stressful pocket at this point in his career. Even, you know, he's probably worse, much worse in that regard than even Carson Wentz was last year. At least Wentz was capable of, you know, being the big quarterback and being able to kind of at least turn some of those negative plays into positive situations with scrambling. Matt Ryan's kind of a sitting duck back there, and they haven't been good at the tackle position. So I think they could, you know, continue to be bad, you know, all the way through September and into the rest of the season, especially if they don't show something, some sort of life against Kansas City this weekend.
Yeah, I keep wondering how Jim Irsay is, what he's thinking after he took all those shots at Carson Wentz. It doesn't look that much better for them right now. Yeah. Is there a coach, Ben, that has impressed you so far through the first couple weeks of the season, for example, like a Mike McDaniel? And how would that upgrade, if you will, affect how you would play that team moving forward?
Yeah, definitely. And it is definitely, you know, Mike McDaniel. You know, he's definitely pushed all the right buttons, I would say, you know, from the team building perspective. You know, having Tua on a rookie deal definitely helps them be able to kind of bring in a guy like Tyreek Hill, who can, you know, alleviate pressure on a guy like Jaylen Waddle and actually help him be the best version of himself. And those two combined, obviously running wide open against, you know, Baltimore Ravens secondary that had a number of blown coverages. But on top of that, he is, you know, putting this team in the best position to win, going for it on fourth down, even when, you know, he could be made a fool of if they don't actually end up getting it. They have been converting those so far. So I do think hopefully we can continue to see him being really aggressive. But, you know, through two games, I think he looks every bit the part and more as far as a coach that is setting up his team week in and week out to win football games. And I think that's kind of exciting. I think, you know, outside of that, you never really want to always talk about the negatives, but I do think, you know, from a coaching perspective, it's maybe easier to identify the situations where the coach isn't necessarily putting their teams in the best position to win. And I think that's the spot where you can maybe attack or fade those sorts of teams in the betting market if you kind of notice some of those situations where the coach isn't maximizing, you know, the win probability in game, especially.
Just say Denver. Go ahead, Ben. Yep. Just say Denver.
Just say Denver. And I think, you know, to a lesser extent, the Chargers, right? I think, you know, when you look at Brandon Staley last year, there was probably the question of is he, you know, is he this sharp, shrewd analytics type coach, or is he overly aggressive, or is he just, you know, being really aggressive in his first year and maximizing that sort of strategy? And I think, you know, when looking back on it, especially the decisions he's made this year, it was, you know, an over-aggression. I think him maybe trying to take a step back from that has been an overcorrection. I do think, you know, that's a spot where if he continues on in that trend, it's a reason why the Chargers, you know, might struggle to once again make the playoffs again in the AFC, I would say.
All right, let's go to the Chargers game on Sunday. We were discussing our show survivor pick for our contest here, Ben, and our first instinct before week three arrived was Chargers, long extra rest, at home, Jacksonville, felt like the right spot. And then we've kind of talked ourselves away from that because the Herbert injury, Jacksonville looks better than maybe we thought. And you know, and the Staley thing now factoring in. Survivor this week, Jacksonville and the Chargers' biggest spread, 7 right now. Would you be on the Chargers this week if you had a survivor pick, or would you walk away from that for all the factors we just discussed?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Chargers have to be, like, the least, not necessarily appealing team, but, like, week in and week out, you obviously have to find a spot to play them in Survivor, but that would be maybe the most stressful weekend of my Survivor if I was in that particular contest. The games are always close. They're always tight. For some reason, the Chargers just can never put teams away. It does seem to be, you know, baked into their, you know, betting market expectation, but you know, with the widest spread this weekend, I still think, you know, with what Trevor Lawrence has kind of flashed at certain points this year, I think Christian Kirk has been, you know, much better than expected as well, getting open on, I think, roughly like 80% of his targets so far this year. Like, the Jaguars can kind of beat anybody with Trevor Lawrence playing, you know, as well as he is at quarterback right now. So I would probably look, you know, for a different spot than the Los Angeles Chargers this weekend. But then in saying that, I'm not sure if you're going to ever have a perfect week to actually lock them in as your survivor pick either.
Well, Ben, after the first week of games, everyone jokes about, oh, it's overreaction Monday. This is overreaction week if you're a better. Well, it's not limited to week one. You go to week two, and some of the moves that we saw, let's say in the MVP market or some of the Super Bowl odds, like, it's staggering. It's overreaction a whole lot, I'd say, in the first month of the season. And if you look at the Super Bowl odds and the point differential after two games, the funny thing is top four lineup. They go right in order. It's Bills, Chiefs, Bucks, Eagles. That's the order for the Super Bowl. That's the order for the point differential. Are there any are there any teams that you're thinking, okay, let's not overreact in the negative sense? We don't want to completely bury this team just because the point differential looks bad after two games. They still have life, and they still have a ceiling where they can make the postseason and take a deep run.
Yeah, I was higher on the Cincinnati Bengals, I would say, than even like the betting market heading into the year. You know, they haven't been, you know, great whatsoever. Obviously, Joe Burrow struggled behind what looks like, once again, a ragtag offensive line. I did think, you know, the acquisitions that they brought in would be a lot better than what they were through two games. But I still think they're a team with way too much talent to be completely written off right now. The AFC North definitely hasn't separated, you know, from Cincinnati. And I do think, you know, even with a tough schedule, they are a team that is going to compete week in and week out. And I think if they get, you know, one or two victories under their belt here, they're definitely going to be in position, I would say, to win the AFC North once again. So they're kind of the team, you know, I bought into them in the preseason. I think if I didn't bet them the first 2 weeks, I would be, I wouldn't have lost too many bets, I'll say that much. But they were the one team that was highly negative, you know, from a betting outlook for me personally. So we'll see if they can turn it around, but I think they have too much talent in order to kind of finish outside of the playoff picture from my perspective.
Ben, Thursday night football tomorrow, Steelers at Browns. Browns, 4.5-point favorites, a lower total of 38.5. Is there anything you like or have your eye on in this one, whether it's side total or maybe even some props?
Yeah, I don't mind going over the total. I think when you get, you know, this low of a number, it's hard from like a model perspective to not just play, you know, the opposite side, given how low, you know, the total has actually become at this point. 38 is just something we rarely, if ever, see. So I think if you see, you know, even one or two big offensive plays, you could even get a special teams play or a turnover, you know, in the opposing team's, you know, red zone type situation. Those are all things that are going to lead to a pretty easy cover of the over. So I do think playing that makes a lot of sense. I also think, you know, the Browns on the money line lane, you know, minus 205 or something does seem like a little bit of value according to PFF modeling. So I don't hate that either, but there's nothing really on the spread. I do think, you know, there's probably a case to be made for, you know, Mitchell Trubisky to be better even than what he's shown so far, but we have Jacoby Brissett as, you know, the better quarterback through two games from a PFF grading perspective.
Ben, almost every graph I see Pro Football Focus put out this week with the top offenses in the NFL, they all have the Lions in them. They're all near the top five in terms of efficiency and points and explosion. Your thoughts on the Lions as we head to this game against Minnesota? They've been dancing around 6.5, you know, 7-point underdogs, maybe dropped a little bit this morning. Do you think they're alive in this game? And how high are you on this Lions offense moving forward?
Yeah, I they've definitely looked the part. I think, you know, defensively, a lot of concerns with their secondary, especially, but I do think a lot of that is injury related. So I think they can, you know, Jared Goff has been much better than expected. I think, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown also much better than expected. So they have, you know, kind of a high octane offense. I don't think they've necessarily done it against any really legitimate, you know, I guess the Eagles in week one, I would say, is, you know, pretty legitimate defense. But I think that was more of a situation where they were, you know, in comeback mode and being productive kind of in the fourth quarter. So I would want to see it, I would say, one more week from Jared Goff. But I do think, you know, this matchup against Minnesota makes a lot of sense for them to not only cover, but probably be live outright as, you know, a plus 200 or so dog on the money line. I, you know, Eric Eager has, you know, brought me in along enough times to the point where I have to say restore the roar and all these other things. So it's yeah, part of my contract now. And unfortunately, it's just a situation that I'm riding with all season just based on, you know, the vibes at this point.
Well, yeah, Eric's leaving. So you can throw that to the side now, right? No, I mean, I've pushed against it just like you, Ben. And I find myself this week looking at that number like, geez, the Lions number to win the North is better. Are the Packers and Vikings that much better? So I kind of understand where you're coming from. Of the week three matchups that we have not discussed, which one is the first bet that you made early this week when the numbers dropped?
Yeah, I mean, I did get on some Lions plus seven. That's obviously down to six now. I don't love it that much of that spread. And the other one I really like, Baltimore, you know, even as a 3-point, you know, road favorite, I think New England is not a very good football team. You know, they made some plays downfield last week. Nelson Agholor had, you know, the Moss-type catch that went for a touchdown. But outside of that, I don't think they have a very good offense. I think Mac Jones probably isn't as good without Josh McDaniels in the fold that the betting market's even pricing in right now. So I think Baltimore, you know, outside of their secondary situation, I do think they're a little bit banged up, but they should not have any trouble taking care of New England at home. So I think Baltimore minus three is probably one of, if not my favorite bet this weekend.
Quickly, any thoughts on the Mike Evans suspension and what might happen there and how that might affect their game this week?
Yeah, I mean, they have they need Julio Jones back. I will say that much. I do think, you know, the wide receiver situation has obviously gotten really bad. Bringing in Cole Beasley, is he actually going to be ready this week or not? I do think Green Bay's defense is better than what they've shown so far. They do have, you know, a really high pressure rate. I do think if they can actually get quick pressure on Tom Brady, it's going to be a really difficult match for the Buccaneers, especially if no wide receivers are separating downfield. So I'm concerned. I think without Julio Jones, the Green Bay Packers are, you know, a legitimate play, especially if they kind of hold to this plus 2.5-point number.
Great stuff. Ben Brown, Pro Football Focus. Ben, we appreciate hopping on the guest line. We got a lot to do here, including Joe Knows on the other side, sports betting questions. Joe will answer. A lot to discuss. College football next hour. Line moving across the NFL right here on the BetQL Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.